But previously, he had ruled Egypt. The second wave of the shepherd kings was when Joseph and his sons continued to rule over Egypt as foreign rulers. For years, archaeology dated the Hyksos a couple of hundred years away from the date of the sons of Jacob being in Egypt. Now archaeology is caught up with facts. They weren't in bondage in Egypt until a pharaoh that knew not Joseph rose up in the upper Egypt and defeated them. And when he did, the rulers escaped. The rest of the people stayed and came under bondage. I'd say 40 to 100 years maximum before the birth of Moses. And Moses comes on the scene to lead the exodus of the slaves. But Diodorus of Sicily says there were two exodus, one with water and one with Moses. Now, who were those rulers that escaped? In the memory traces of the tribes of Israel who came out under Moses, you'll find it in the Psalms. The only persons they could relate Solomon to were the sons of Zorah in wisdom. That means that somewhere the sons of Zorah had made such an impact onto the memory traces of the tribes of Israel that clear through the wilderness, into the taking of Canaan, clear down to the days of Solomon when God gave wisdom in response to prayer to Solomon, they could only find one way to relate and compare the wisdom of Solomon to anything they had previously known about in their history, and it's the sons of Zorah. Now, imagine this. Jacob gives the blessing. Joseph is ruling. The birthright goes to Joseph, but the scepter of rulership, kingship, goes to Judah. Jacob dies. The sons of Jacob, the brethren of Joseph, cement their position. Joseph dies. He had the position. God sent a man to Egypt. He was in position before the birthright was divided and sceptership was given to Judah. In their position of power as the foreign rulers of Egypt, Joseph's leadership position must be replaced. God's promise through Jacob decreed that the replacement be son of Judah. He got two sons. The Zorah sons claim it because the arm came out first. The Pharaoh's sons claim it because the whole body birth first was theirs. The wisdom of the sons of Zorah is so overwhelming that it makes the memory trace last till Solomon. The Zorah sons in Egypt won the day. They became the Judah rulers as shepherd kings. Upper Egypt revolts. The Pharaoh of Upper Egypt throws off the rule of the shepherd kings. The rulers leave. It's sons of Zorah that settle and found Troy, Darda or Dardanus. It's sons of Zorah that settle and found the city-states in Greece. Cyrus Gordon has shown the common heritage of the Israelites and the Greeks coming out of Egypt. Chalcol, or Cecrops. On this genealogy chart, you'll find the Zorah line and the Pharaoh's line, the twin sons of Judah. You want to take the Zorah line and follow it all the way over here. Calcul, or key crops, is a son of Zara. Darda, or Dardanus, a son of Zara. From Zara comes the line through Dardanus of the Trojan kings. From Calcol comes the line you trace to the right. Now these founders of Troy and of Athens and others of the Zara line who end up as Milesian kings in Spain are planting the Zara line that has lost in the competition of kingship over Israel per se, because in fleeing from Egypt, in bondage are the descendants of pharaohs who did not rule in prominence during the shepherd king period, part of God's master plan. Because a descendant of Judah through the Pharaoh's line will go with the band as Moses leads them out of Egypt. They will march into the promised land. The first king ahead of God's time is picked by the people, a descendant of Benjamin, Saul. David is anointed by God of the Pharaoh's line. And this Pharaoh's line receives an additional promise in the house of David when Nathan the prophet comes and says, David's house will become a dynasty that shall last as long as there's a sun in the sky. Now, God has established that the Judah line will provide the kings. He's now refined it by saying the David line of the Judah line through Pharaoh's shall be king preeminent in the natural sense. At the passages here in Ezekiel, the high line, the David line, the Pharaoh's line, rather, that has achieved preeminence over the Zara line as ruler over most of the people of Israel, is being represented by Zedekiah. God is going to abase the Pharaoh's line, at the same time keep his promise to the specific David portion of the Pharaoh's line that must always have of its seed a ruler over Israel. So he must work the wondrous weaving pattern of keeping his word to David that as long as there's a sun in the sky, David's seed will be there to rule over Israel. At the same time, abase the Pharaoh's line, of which David was a part. The broad Pharaoh's line must be brought down, and the Zara line that has been scattered when the shepherd king's back was broken and settled in Troy and in Greece and in Spain and move now on up to conquer Ireland. They're the low line, the Zara line. God's going to elevate the Zara line and at the same time accomplish his promise to David by joining the feminine seed of David to the Zara line and bring them together in Ireland. Let's keep going. About 5 more minutes. That is my answer to the question, how did he exalt him that's low, the Zara line, by joining him with the David line, and the high king of Ireland marries the feminine seed of David through Zedekiah brought to Ireland by Jeremiah, and how does he abase him that's high? That's obvious. Zedekiah is down. But here's the killer. Verse 27, I will overturn it. It shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I'll give it to him. Now, the literal is, this line will be overturned 3 times, then overturned no more, until he come whose right it is to reign. Where did that happen? If you're going to say it's fulfilled through the Jews, Zedekiah is out. Where are the three overturns until Jesus comes? There aren't three overturns before he comes the first time. And there ain't been any kings for him since he came the first time. And where are they going to have the three overturns before he comes the second time? I believe in the promises to the Jew. I believe that the restored nation Israel is one of the greatest demonstrations of God's ability to carry his word out in the world today. And if God will allow me on Sunday, though I'm still on the potter's house, I want to teach on God's prophecies about Lebanon and this Shiite phenomenon and the Muslim place in God's plan of things. But I can say, no matter how you look at it as an evangelical Christian, believe as I do in the Jews and their return to the Holy Land, where's the three overturns? Zedekiah is the overturn. Where's the other two? Well, I'll tell you where. My answer. Because he took the seed of David, Zedekiah's daughter, with Jeremiah, and joined her with a descendant of Zara, the high king of Ireland. That's overturn one. Fergus of Scotland overturned the second time, and the throne moved to Scotland. Third overturn took it from Scotland to England. And that old pillar called Jacob's Pillar is sitting there under that coronation chair in Westminster Abbey, and that's the third overturn. And that crown will not be overturned. I don't care if somebody sits on a throne that plays around with sexy gals in the Caribbean. Doesn't matter whether they deserve to be king or not. That British crown will last until Jesus comes, and he comes as right it is to reign. That's one of the most miraculous fulfillments of God's word anywhere in God's scripture. That's why I want you to have this. If you don't have it, most of you already got it, but if you don't have this genealogy chart, you better get it. I'm getting close to it again now, you can see. If we can stay on the track, if you'll help me get the budget till I can keep teaching, we may finally get down this genealogy chart. But I'm telling you, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Jeremiah 33:17. Here is the fulfillment of that promise.